On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, Josh and I discuss the news about Spencer Dinwiddie potentially joining the Nigerian national team, plus Kevin Durant and Draymond Green have beef. What else is new? All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, Marcus, we went from coaching to now the Olympics. Our boy Spencer Dinwiddie was left off the kind of USA camp roster of 44 invites that was released back in February. So he's just said, hey, you know what? I'm going to get in the Olympics one way or the other. I'm going to play for Team Nigeria. So he's going to try to obtain a Nigerian passport and join the country's team that includes a pretty good roster. It's Al-Farouq Aminu, Chimezie Metu, Josh Okogie, Ekpe Udo, coached by Mike Brown, who was just hired a couple months ago. So it's an interesting squad. A couple questions for you. Any thoughts on this? And second of all, should Dinwiddie have been named to the 44 finalists for the USA team?
So first off, with the Nigeria team, yeah, I was surprised how many like current and former NBA guys they had. They're like six or seven deep in that respect. And the Mike Brown thing jumped up to me just because, like I had just mentioned, there was a follow-up tweet that Mark Stein did where Mike Brown is like a name to watch for the Nets. And so I don't know if like maybe his connection that could come from this, like with Spencer Dinwiddie, if that maybe plays a factor. Maybe he becomes like a mystery sixth candidate that we can talk about in the future. But those things were interesting to me. And then with Dinwiddie, I mean, obviously, there's names on that list of finalists who he's like not even close. Like he's way better than like JaVale McGee was on that team, Plumlee, Derek White, Kyle Kuzma. Like there's guys who Dinwiddie should definitely be there ahead of. At the same time, like if the stars like come out and actually want to play on the team, Dinwiddie would not make the team. So, like the situation for him would have been like what happened with Joe Harris. Where it's kind of like an off year and you play on that sort of team. And then Joe Harris is one of the guys who was invited. I think they just invite anyone who has ever been on a Team USA team.
Plumlee's really.
He's the face of that. I mean, I get why Dinwiddie's upset because there's like guys who were named finalists who he is better than and it's not particularly close. But at the same time, like even if he was named a finalist, it would have taken a lot of guys backing out for him to make the team. So I don't know. It's kind of a small thing. I like that he's like trying to go this route though. I mean, it's not one that's been taken by a ton of guys like going to play for a country that they don't have ties to necessarily. So I'm definitely interested in it. If it makes the Olympics more competitive, like that's always fun. It seems like Nigeria could maybe make a run like at a medal of some kind. Like, Australia has been really good. France is always solid. Canada has a lot of talent also. And then Slovenia now with Doncic and Jokic and Serbia. There's a lot of like teams globally that have a chance to be good and a chance to get a medal. And so throwing another one in the mix is going to be fun.
Yeah, no, I agree with your sentiment. I think also the Nigerian team, I didn't realize this, has Jordan Wara, who is one of the best college players, a kind of a combo forward type, who played for Louisville and was projected to coming into the year as kind of a national player of the year type, had slightly disappointing season, but still a very, very good player that's kind of all-American caliber. So Nigeria should be relatively deep for kind of a middle, I don't even, can't call it mid-major, but mid-country team. So it's a little interesting to see what they do. And yeah, Dinwiddie wasn't going to make the American team. Especially like the position he plays is the most saturated. When you look at USA basketball, they have plenty of scorers. That's really the last thing they need. You know, he would be way behind guys like Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, who may not even be guaranteed to make the team themselves, Kemba Walker. So he just didn't really have a chance. Yes, it is a huge honor getting even named as a finalist, but he wasn't going to make the team. Obviously, he's better than guys like Derek White and Plumlee, but besides the White case, most of it is kind of due to position stuff that they just don't want to take as many guards. And there's a lot of kind of big man and forwards now that are international, and the USA team is definitely a bit weaker on that front than they are on the guard front. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, he'll go on the Nigerian team and he will be their unquestioned guy, and he'll have the ball in his hands basically the entire time and have some solid players around him. But really, when it comes to nut crunching time and in the clutch, it's going to be him. So I think we've seen that he loves the pressure. He loves that moment. So I think this is going to be a good thing for him.
Yeah, I think he could be really, really good also. Like, we've seen those kind of, like, just quick guards be really successful with, like, Australia especially comes to mind with, like, Patty Mills just, like, on fire in the Olympics. And, like, the three-point line is a little bit closer. Like, I don't know. I feel like Dinwiddie is going to be, like, a huge, like, volume guy in the Olympics next year.
You could have a Nando De Colo, like, run for France.
A star.
I know, really. But yeah, it would be a pretty decent starting lineup, I have to say.
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like Dinwiddie is a guy who, like, always feels kind of disrespected and, like, he doesn't get the props he deserves. And this move, like, makes total sense to me for him. Like, if he's able to, like, make some noise with his team and, like, maybe pull an upset on one of the more talented teams, he could get a lot of traction that he wouldn't necessarily be able to get in the NBA. I think he had, like, that moment of shine at All-Star Weekend when he won the Skills Challenge a little while ago. But, like, other than that, I don't know. Like, unless he wins the Sixth Man of the Year award, he's not going to probably get any national recognition in the NBA, like, especially with Kyrie and KD coming back. Like, his window to make an All-Star team was kind of, like, this year or the year before. So this is definitely a way where he can maybe get some more attention, get some fans, and increase his global brand. Maybe get some people to buy some Din coin or whatever it's called.
Dinwiddie dollars.
Yes.
Like that. Want to tell you about a new sponsor on the Lockdown podcast. It's our friends over at Built Bar. Built Bar, the, in my opinion, best tasting protein bar there is on the market. They were nice enough to send us samples. And really kind of a free pack of protein bars to myself, Marcus, Gavin, all the live hosts. And, you know, they were saying, oh, it's going to taste like a candy bar. And I've heard enough of these over the years where I have some pretty big semblance of doubt when it comes to these protein bars and how good they taste. Built Bar blew me away. It has 16 amazing flavors, 8 kind of chocolate nut flavors, 8 are more free of those. Yeah, some orange in there, some other more fruit-based flavors, which are really good. They're covered in 100% chocolate, very soft, easy to chew. You're not chewing on a rock, which has been a problem for me in the past. They're healthy. That's important. You know, 20 grams of protein, 170 calories for their peanut butter brownie bar. That's a pretty good deal to me. I am on the go a lot, are in a lot of meetings and calls, need something quick. Don't have time to make myself something. I'm always eating protein bars, and Built Bar is a new great solution for me. I am so excited to add these into my daily routine. Love the mint brownie one also. They really know what they're doing on the flavor side. Marcus, how are you finding your Built Bars?
Oh, they're incredible. The peanut butter brownie one was my favorite. Also, the salted caramel chocolate one was really good. Yeah, just like having it after a workout. Very quick, very easy. And I can just kind of go on with my day after that.
Yep. So go to builtbar.com and use promo code locked on and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code locked on for $10 off at builtbar.com. They got some new flavors hitting the markets in the coming weeks that I am very excited about, particularly the coconut pecan pie and blueberry lemon. I am very, very excited for that, Marcus. You have no idea. It's going to be divine if Built Bar keeps up what they've been doing on some of the other flavors I've had. Again, go to builtbar.com and use promo code locked on for $10 off. Builtbar.com. Marcus, what else do we got for today?
We touched on it a little bit, but the Draymond Green, like post The Last Dance show is part of like ESPN's Uninterrupted. It was on Uninterrupted after The Last Dance aired on ESPN. Draymond went on after the first two episodes and was kind of comparing that 97-98 Bulls team with the recent Warriors team that kind of was their last hurrah before this current season, where it was a completely different story. But yeah, Draymond was kind of, I don't even want to say throwing shade, because he called him out by name, and it was pretty direct. It was not passive aggressive at all, comparing the situation with Phil being forced out in Chicago and Michael Jordan saying, if Phil's not here, I'm not going to be here either. Like, saying that that Bulls team knew what to expect going into the season, and Draymond kind of had a problem with KD being ambiguous and not really answering the question. That led to a lot more media attention and more questions being asked, especially to Clay and to Draymond, who were also having like contract situations that need to be resolved, even though those guys were very clear, like, we want to stay here, we want to be here. Because KD's situation was up in the air, it kind of made everything a little more complicated. And yeah, he just kind of went on and was like pointing to the elephant in the room a lot of the time with that team, and saying that KD kind of changed after he won his first title with the Warriors, and people still thought LeBron was better than him. And that kind of made him mad and made him, like we just talked about, kind of go back into ISO mode on offense, getting annoyed at Steph and Clay for shooting a lot, getting into screaming matches with Draymond. So I don't know. It just, it made me even more, it made me wish even more that we could have seen him play this season with the Nets to see like what kind of player he would have wanted to be, just because like we talked about with the team's like general offensive philosophy and style, I don't know if KD wants to go back to like more ISO heavy basketball, if he wants to do more ball movement stuff just with a different team and with different guys who maybe won't steal as much of the shine and spotlight from him as Steph did, and as like the whole Warriors organization kind of did. Maybe he thinks that if he does that same thing with a team like the Nets, that's been more destitute, especially recently, that he'll get more credit for that. I don't know. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he comes out with, and hopefully he's able to be relatively healthy and that part is not affected, because I just want to see like what this chapter for him has in store.
Yeah, I mean, I think you made a good point. Like, it's just, like, we don't know, and we're so curious to see what he looks like out there when he's able to get back to it. Because, like, for one thing, I'm kind of sick of the whole Draymond KD thing. Like, people want storylines, but I just want to see him out there playing basketball. And I think there's been a lot of stuff in the media just because KD hasn't been able to get a chance and play this season. He missed the last few games of the finals, just given all the health concerns there, and obviously has that tragic ending. But I just think he's such a fascinating figure, because he's one of the best players in the world. I'd say kind of unquestioned top three guy when he was healthy, probably all time, top 15, no doubt. And then he's also just, he has this side to him where he is so vulnerable, and it's unlike any other player of his ilk. And he kind of lets people in, and the whole like burner stuff and everything, like, he just clearly cares a lot about what people think of him, I think. And he has that vulnerability that you wouldn't expect from of someone that's achieved so much. And he still kind of has that desire to earn the approval of his peers and the media and whomever. Even if he kind of comes off as a little prickly sometime, he has that realness and grit to him, which I find so refreshing. I just want to get him out there and playing basketball, and really – and I think that's the thing where he's coming back from – this Achilles, but I think he's still going to be so motivated to get back to where he was and prove himself, because he's not complacent, and he really wants to show that he can carry a team to the finals and win a championship on his own.
Yeah, and like even dating back to when he was like more beloved by the media, he's always been a guy who lets his game do the talking more so than like actually talking himself. And so I'm sure this year was like just so tough on him to not be able to do that. And so instead, like the only interaction he really can have with like NBA basketball and with fans and stuff is just like talking to the media, which he seems to despise at this point. And the other thing was like, I think it's kind of an unfair comparison by Draymond to compare this to what happened with that Bulls team, just because like the media climate is so different. And I don't know, I feel like if he had said in September, October, or whatever of that last season with the Warriors, like, yeah, I'm leaving after the season, this is my last year, I feel like there still would have been like a ton of questions throughout the season, like, are you sure? Like, as they're winning more and more games, like, is there any chance this changes, blah, 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 and, like, trying to, like, not step on toes and that kind of thing. And, like, I don't know. When LeBron left the Heat, it was not discussed beforehand. When he left the Cavs, the same thing. When Kawhi left the Raptors, he didn't say he was going to leave. Like, I don't think anyone recently has, like, said that they were just, like, going to leave at the end of the season. Like, it's not really done. And, like, obviously it would have made Draymond's life easier just because he wouldn't have been asked about it so much. But I don't think it really would have, like, changed anything long term. I think that, like, the situation had deteriorated, and I don't know. I don't think they were, like, going to come together over, like, this is KD's last run. I think it was KD's last run because he was annoyed. Whereas, like, with the other situation in Chicago, it was Phil's last year, but everyone still loved Phil. And, like, Michael was still, no one was going to question him and, like, how committed he was to the team. So, like, I do think it's two different situations, basically.
Right. And the mandate on Phil was coming from Jerry Krause. So it's like,
yeah,
it's just a very different scenario. And I think, to your point, it was going to be a massive, like, news story that carried throughout the season and placed some strain on the Warriors, regardless if KD said, I'm leaving, or did that as is. So, and I think that's, like, that's just the media cycle we're in right now. So he could have been more upfront with it, but obviously that would have seriously put a huge strain on the team. Who knows if it would have been more so than it ended up being or not, but there was no perfect way to handle that situation.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, even with like Kyrie and the Celtics, like, where he outright said, like, I would love to re-sign if you'll have me. People still ask questions about it. Yeah, they didn't have him. He eventually left, and, like, yeah, if you make such a hard commitment, then you kind of lock yourself up, which is, like, not what guys do nowadays. Like, guys sign 1 year, 2 year contracts, and they don't want to commit to anything that, like, could bite them in the end, because, like, you see what happened with Kyrie. Like, he was branded this kind of, like, traitor, this, like, all these, like, things that are absurd to call a basketball player. But yeah, like, KD is not the kind of guy who's gonna, like, come out and do that. He's definitely, like, much more, I don't want to say passive aggressive, but, like, kind of passive aggressive and, like, contemplative, and he likes to take his time to make his decisions, and he's not going to, like, ruffle feathers like that. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good point. And that's why, like, there's a lot of us that are passive aggressive. So I think it's just, like, why we think he's relatable.
He's a real guy.
He really is. We covered a lot of ground here today, Marcus.
We did. I miss basketball.
So. Yeah, so do I. I'm very impressed with ourselves. If you want some other sports coverage, check out our friends over at Locked On NFL. They have all the aftermath from the draft and all the good stuff that's coming with the football. Marcus, you know that I'm not the biggest NFL fan anymore, but I'm sure you can do a better job of explaining what they're talking about than I can. But I think post-draft sounds right.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like, actual, like, real content for them to talk about, as opposed to we kind of we're, like, scrapping some stuff together, but we're making it work. But definitely, a lot of good content for them to talk about on the NFL podcast.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for us here today on Locked On Nets. You can, of course, subscribe to the podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, you name it. We will be there. Follow us on Twitter. Marcus is at Marcus Barahal. I am at JMBass_. The podcast is at Locked On Nets. Give us your feedback. What's your favorite Built Bar? Who's your favorite option for Nets coach? Two very important things that we want to hear from you. Rate us, review us, and until next time, be well.
Bye.